Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like Palace this weekend, we're back and everyone is delighted. Joining us today, fresh from work and in between Tinder dates, is Marky Werner. Marky, thank you for fitting us in between your shags.
Oh, that's all right, mate. Pleasure. I was just happy to get online in the end, and there may be some audio of that at the end of this pod, but... it's a pleasure to be here, mate. As always, always make time for you boys. You know that.
I know. We've been here for about 4 hours.
Well,
how are you?
The birds can wait. My priority is obviously Exiled Eagles podcast. Yeah,
you might want to push her out the door. I can see her just at the back there. Just push her out the door.
It's Fanny and Palace, isn't it? Mm. So, yeah,
okay. That's right.
That's it.
Not necessarily in that order.
No order.
Exactly. Flowing locks, Ned, down in Melbourne. How are you, mate?
It's not very often I'm lost for words, but Mark's already got me lost for words, and we're not even a minute into the pod. So, I'm very well, thanks. That's all I've got.
And the West Indies' new fast bowler for the T20 World Cup, Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
It's taken a little bit out of context, but yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And I'm last today, intro'd last, so that's different, changed it up.
Well, that's it, mate, that's it. That's been international break, I've been thinking until I had 5 minutes of thinking just before Mark's audio connected, so away we go. All right, fellas, I've got to be honest with you, fellas, I don't remember the last time we played what the games were, but I know we've played Newcastle, City and Wattles. Is that the three? Sure. Yeah. Okay, and Arsenal. All right. All right, so I introduced you last day. I'll just come to you first now. I mean, have you enjoyed watching our football? Are you happy with the results? Are you happy where it's going? How are you feeling in Palace land at the moment after the last four?
Right, yes, happy, brilliant. Two wins, two draws, away at Man City, nothing to complain about in that regards, all right? Arsenal game, very frustrating, very disappointing because we should have won. So on the face of it, if someone had said to us 1 minute to kick off or 10 minutes in, you're going to draw 2-2, you'd bite their hand off for it. But given the nature of the performance and what happened, you're disappointed. And Newcastle, again, disappointing in the fact that we didn't win. Newcastle literally offered nothing. It was a masterclass on how not to let their best player play. So Alistair Maxman did nothing and had to get substituted. I think he plays on the left. So yes, Joel Ward, well done. Well battled, Rory. I'll get it in there before Mark has an orgasm. Brilliantly. And obviously the City game. We don't even want to talk about the City game. What's the point? Let's not even talk about it because I'll be walking around a stonker the rest of the evening and that won't satisfy anyone. And Wolves was brilliant. Again, so look, bottom line is you've got to be happy with it. And am I happy with what's going on at the moment? I think I said in the WhatsApp group quite early on, don't really care about the results at the moment. It's just good to watch. And suddenly, it's enjoyable to watch. And we did say it was getting a bit tricky to watch under Roy and people were not turning on to watch. And now you want to turn us on and you feel that if we lose, it's not because we just sat back and took a paste in. We gave it our all and, you know, so yeah, happy. Got to be happy.
Exactly. And just want to pick up on there. People weren't turning in. It was like last year. Oh, don't worry about it. Ned, go on, mate. Talk to us. Come on. Do your dissecting thing and bring us back down to earth that we're not that good. We're pretty rubbish. Like, go on. Tell us all.
What do you mean? I'm the one that pretty much says every year that we're going to win the league and, want 5 out of 5 and head off to Europe. So I've already booked my flights to Baku for Europa Conference League clashes next year. So that should be good. I think in terms of the we've been talking sort of all season about, you know, how good the football is and how sort of, you know, how well we're playing. But I think the last two games has been really good to finally, because as good as the football was, it was almost starting to get to a point where it was like, how many of these hard luck stories can we have? You know, you make your own luck and it gets to a point where, you know, maybe it's not hard luck anymore. But to then finally be able to have those last couple of results where the performance was there, you know, we've managed to keep the clean sheet. We put the ball in the back of the net a few times and you sit there and you go, oh, okay. You know, if we can keep going and building on that, then yeah, we are going to really give a fairly strong finish to the season. I think as we were sort of have discussed previously, I think from our defensive record, while it sort of looks like we've conceded a few goals, if we fix up that sort of set piece issue that we've had, and you look at the goals that we've conceded, we've really, if you take set pieces out and you take out, you know, Anderson's two absolute howlers against Leicester, from open play, we've only conceded about two goals for the season. And it's not like teams have been absolutely battering us and we've just got lucky to do that. So I think from a, you know, from a whole team performance perspective, particularly the last two, where we've managed to turn those convincing performances into 3 points and not just one. I mean, yeah, it's looking scarily positive. I don't like it.
What about you, Brisbane's master swordsman?
maybe a very small dagger at best. Mate, yeah, it is exciting times. With just the style of play, you can see a rejuvenated exuberance in a lot of the existing squad from a couple of seasons of Roy Ball. It's dying down a little bit. A lot of people are still harking back to, oh, Roy this and Roy that. Like, forget that. Forget Roy. It's last season, mate. It's gone. It's not, you know, it's like still banging on about your ex. No one cares. It's done. He had a job sheet and no money and keep us in the league. He did that. So I'm really tiring of people still battering him around the ears because I think he did outstanding for when he came in, man. Like, we broke like a 99 or 103 year record to keep us up, you know. So I'm sick of hearing that. But for the here and now, it's great. It's great to watch, you know. I don't know, we might have been another pod or WhatsApp where, you know, up to Newcastle and we drew after dominating the game and it was a worldie of a goal that they did have a corner and ball headed out and not cleared. You know, but, oh, yeah, we'll just go up to Etihad this week and keep a clean sheet and win. And that's what we did, you know. And that was by no means a smash and grab. That was 2-0. It wasn't an odd deflected goal or a 1-0 own goal or a pen. You know, which beat them. Beat them hands down. And it really shits me to tears that commentators are still, you know, it's just City had a bad day and this, that. No one's ever big enough Palace. A few now, or, you know, oh, it's done good. Still whispers of us getting relegated and this sort of thing, which I think is absolute nonsense, but it shits me to tears when the first go-to thing is like, oh, well, what's wrong with the club that Palace have beaten today, or where do the wheels fall off for them? Not this mob are getting their shit together and going gangbusters under Vieira, which we are. It's exciting to watch. We're taking some scalps. The draws we're having, if you take the emotion out of it, i.e. the time we've conceded those draws, Brighton and Arsenal and even Newcastle, there, the best kind of draws we could hope for. You know what I mean? Like, you all but fucking had it. Like Ned said, they're just coming off, you know, a poorly cleared corner, or corners, a lot of them. No one's going through the guts of us. You know, we're not just getting caught out and they're banging them in. So if there's a good type of draw to get, then we're getting the best type. And, you know, from a negative standpoint of what you pick up, apart from the corners, there's not much to bloody bang on about, really. So, I mean, you know, still guys to come back in. Hughes, Eze, she's all going north, mate, and loving it.
I think I just want to say on that, the only disappointing thing, and Rob, you may be saying this, and I might have jumped in, but if you are unlucky, the bit that hurts the most is the fact that we have legit thrown away, what, six points? Right, and that's not the, against Liverpool, or we hit the post, we could have scored, or was the referee giving it. We're talking legit last kick of the game nonsense, right? We add those 6 points onto our total. We've 21 points and we're fifth.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of teams and a lot of supporters can turn around and say the if, buts and maybes. But I think in this case, it's not just because it's Palace. You can genuinely look at it and go, we were that close to being halfway to our points total to the season of 11 games gone. And, you know, yeah, West Ham are the fairy tale at the moment, but we wouldn't have been that far behind them, a point behind them. So yeah, it just adds to the frustration, but also adds to the glory of it all.
Absolutely. Great point. Sorry, Mark, go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, absolutely, I agree with that, Dale. Probably two things back to that, you know. You can look at Leicester and West Ham, two goals conceded, come back, got points out of that. But, you know, on paper, no one was giving us probably half-time in those games. And I know it was like last kick of the game. It was really fucking heartbreaking to watch. And you know, I was kicking stones all day about it. But, yeah, like I say, if you take the emotion out of it, you know, that equaliser could come at any time. Both of those just happened to come in the very last shout. So whilst it hurt a lot and there's the negative connotations to that, it's still, you know what I mean? If you're going to draw it, it's like, oh, well, you all but did it. You all but won. Yeah. So that's rather than go across, you're lucky to jag a point there today. So
I think on top of that, particularly with that Arsenal game, If you look at what Arsenal had done before that, you go, yeah, okay, not so good. If you look at what Arsenal's done since that, they've been one of the form teams in the league. They've you know, obviously had their slow start, but they're, you know, it's not like we've just, you know, outplayed and, you know, got unlucky against.
They've won four in the bounce. They've won four in the bounce.
Yeah.
Conceding one goal.
Correct. So it's not like we're sort of sitting there going, oh, you know, it's against the, I mean, sure, you can say like, you know, Newcastle, Brighton. I mean, obviously Brighton are in wherever they are, but that's because they've kept playing all the shit teams at the bottom of the league. But, you know, so you can sort of go, you know, you take a Brighton and a Newcastle and you go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we should have won and we didn't and, you know, we can't get the job done. But then you go, Arsenal, you know, they're a good side, they're a very, very good side. Manchester City, well, they're arguably the best side. And you turn around and go, well, we've managed to play both them off the park. I think we're in a pretty good shape.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. So I think actually going into that game, the Arsenal game, I think they'd won 3 from 4 as well. And Arteta turned it around and everyone was like, of course we don't get Arsenal when Brentford play and when, you know, our under-16s going to beat it. And we get them when they turned it around. City, you mentioned, we played Brighton when Brighton could have gone top. Look at Wolves. Wolves have won 1-4 on the spin when we played them. So we're playing all these teams apart from Newcastle, we're playing all the, and I guarantee if Bruce was still there, we'd have beaten Newcastle. But we're playing all these teams in form. And as you said, as Mikey said, we're playing them off the park. Yeah, like Anderson had a couple of stinkers against Leicester. But I reckon weekly there's no one below a 7 playing for Palace at the moment. Everyone's 7 and above. Every player on the park. Every single player on the park. I'm not going to harp on it about it because look, the squad is very different this time than we had last time. But it just shows that a lot of these players can play in a different way. So there wasn't just the one size fits all. I think I actually did some a bit of prep, and I think we've had 16 players start a Premier League game this season already. 10 games in, 16 different players. Now, our biggest thing with Roy last year is that it would be the same that we could name.
Mark, what was that you were saying about some? Harping on about your ex?
Yeah, not five minutes ago.
This is the change. This is the change that we've seen, right? But and I'll come to a point in a minute that we've actually got 16 players that have started a Premier League game. So what Vieira's doing, he's seeing like, okay, this team will start. Okay, point is, at least they started against Newcastle, but it was back on the, even though it was very good, it was back on the bench for City because IU has to start. And I 100% agree with it because of the defensive role. But you're seeing that, you know, we are playing team, we're picking teams to play that particular team. And that's a big, big shift for us. And than all that Palace fans have seen since we've been in the Premier League. I'm talking the last 9 years because we're like, this is how we're going to play. These are the players that are going to play that structure and that's it. Now we're like, Elise might play or Benteke might play up front or Eduard will play through the middle.
Would you also say though, Rob, that this is the first time in 9 years where we've actually had players in the squad that you can make those changes. Because, I mean, it's all well and good to, you know, you can move an Olise or, you know, an Edouard and a Benteke or whatever it is. You can move those players around. If you turn around and, you know, if that player is Danny Gabadon or if that player is, you know, one of those...
Jimmy Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of those types.
Okay, Kevin, when we first come up, yes. I'd say the last 2 to 3 years, and we can attacking wise, maybe we didn't have the options, but in the centre of the park, rather than running, for example, running Jimmy Mack into the ground, we could have rotated him around. Like we had a Gyro, we had Kiyota.
But instead, we've run him into the ground and he's pulled his hamstring. Okay, next.
We haven't run him into the ground. Like he's thinking about that. And we don't, has that been confirmed yet?
I think he's 11 weeks. He's out.
But regardless, he's played every game. It's not like, James McArthur hasn't been a player that's been rotated. So you can't say, we can't make that argument.
We're 10 games into a new season at the moment. Whereas I can guarantee you that over Christmas, you'll see that rotation happen. You won't see...
Yeah, because he's injured.
Yeah, but you won't see the same team play on a Monday and then Wednesday like we were seeing last time. Also, when regards to, like, say, Vieira learned from when against Arsenal, he brought Tompkins on and invited that pressure.
Yeah.
And the next time, he didn't do that. He changed around. He brought Olise on away at City when we won it up, which scored a second. So we're just seeing this big, big, big shift. And I mean, it kind of leads us on. We can talk about Patty as Lothario likes to call him up in Brisbane. It's really, I think, for me, that's the thing I found most impressive with him. You can see that he's taken stuff in, he's learning. As I said, that Tompkins came on to try and protect the lead, which was probably a reaction to the Brighton goal we conceded last minute. So we're defensive to bring on an extra defender. Didn't quite work. Changed it up. Playing, like, we start Olise, we start Ayew. I'm seeing a lot of good things from Vieira. I mean, he's completely made everyone that said he'd be the first man just sack, but fucking stupid. So this goes to Ned. I mean, did you think you'd be seeing this from Patrick Vieira this early?
Well, I think what I'll say about Patrick Vieira, and I'll, you know, just give all four of us a collective pat on the back, because when he first joined, I would suggest that we as a collective were significantly more positive about his appointment than a lot of other groups that I saw. A lot of people were sort of fairly underwhelmed by it. And they were the same people that were like, we should get Frank Lampard. And it's like, and I think the point that I made at the time was, I don't quite get the difference between the two in terms of, from a playing perspective and a pulling power as a name, they're going to be pretty similar. From an experience perspective, they're going to be pretty similar. But Vieira's learnt from better coaches than Lampard has. So, I think all four of us sort of said, yeah, look, to be honest, it's not the worst appointment. It's not the one we expected. But I think we all sort of looked at it with that sort of bit of optimism and a bit of hope, which has been well and truly repaid. I think we all thought he could be good. I don't think we thought he was going to be this good. I think the only downside of it is possibly your preferred manager at the time was, I believe, Steven Gerrard, Rob. And I have a horrible feeling that we may sort of end up seeing Patrick Vieira do very well here and jump ship once that decent job comes up. Because if he keeps us playing like this, and, you know, and an Arsenal or a Man City or one of those top sides start looking for a manager, then, I mean, realistically, he's got to be starting to, you know, be the name on a few of those shortlists at some big clubs. But for now, I mean, again, it's very much like the Conor Gallagher thing. We'll enjoy it while we've got it, because it's absolutely magnificent to watch.
Absolutely. On that, I mean, I think it's just a win-win. Okay, look, we'll lose our manager, which is never a good thing. But if he's done a good enough job to be put in the frame for your Cities, your United, your Liverpools, the big clubs we're talking about, yeah, right? The hierarchy that is in English football, then he's always done a great job with Palace and got us to a point, yeah, where we can then go and get the next rung down.
I would hope, and I think we should, if we can keep him for at least the next two transfer windows, because so far the signings that he's got are great, and it sounds like his name has been sort of fairly important in getting some of those signings over the line. I'm thinking in particular someone like an Elise. So if we can really leverage that for the next two seasons and the next two transfer windows at least, then even if he does leave at that point, we've got that. We've got the squad. I think we're pretty close to having the squad anyway. But, you know, there's little bits and pieces here and there that it would be good to be able to help have that to build on. And once we've got that, I mean, hopefully he's still here in 10 years' time and we're Premier League champions. But, you know, if not, at least he looks set to leave us in a very healthy spot.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because then, you know, as you say, he's built that squad up and then we're very attractive to kind of, you're not that top tier of manager, but that kind of that manager trying to break into that top tier. Like, for example, obviously not him, I'm not saying him, but someone like a Brendan Rodgers, who isn't quite considered at that level for those clubs just yet, but we'd like to break into it.
I think he probably is now. But
He went from Celtic to Leicester. So we could be at that step and say, all right, what about you, Marky Marks? Did you see this from Patty, as you like to call him? Or
Big Pat, mate, he's we were confident of his appointment. I was particularly. I thought he'd bring some star pull and power with him. Excuse me, bearing in mind a lot of the younger guys that are coming through now into senior squads would have very much looked up to Vieira and been a hero to a lot of these guys. Why wouldn't he be? His absolute quality on the pitch and, you know, was still playing in recent memory. So I think his age and time-wise and still being a young enough manager to be relevant to blokes, you know, in the early 20s or late teens or, you know, even early 30s. Someone like Roy might have struggled to get things across to younger folk. That's not a slight on him. That's just, that is what it is. Whereas I think Big Pat had break down a few of those walls. And you can see there was that video a couple of weeks ago when I think they had the unveiling of the FIFA rankings or something. I led down on the pitch and Wilfus pulling his thing out. And I don't know if it was edited and cut together, but I'll take it at face value. So he pulls his thing off and add whatever numbers or something. And then Pat slides his window open and just stick his head out. Doesn't say anything and just looks at him and he just gives Wilf a look. And there's a look between them and it just warmed my heart. I was like, there you go. There, Wilf will run through a brick wall for that guy. And whilst he probably did and listened to everything Roy said, I don't think they had that sort of rapport. And so I think that's just going to spread throughout the squad. And, you know, the guy, what was he end up being? Third, fourth choice, you know, barely got his feet under the table and we're into the season. Going from strength to strength, definitely will be headhunted by the bigger clubs, you know, maybe as early as next season. So, you know, that's kind of inevitable. But it's great to stick it up the naysayers that, you know, think we're just going to get relegated and we should have gone elsewhere and this sort of thing. The Gerrard thing, I guess, was just a knee-jerk reaction from Palace supporters. Someone to come in and just play some of the kids, you know, give the younger crop a bit of a go. And Pat seemed to be doing that whilst just getting the whole train together. Which has been good. I did a four-wheel driving course on the weekend and the group up there was a Tottenham supporter and a Dutch bloke who was a supporter of Feyenoord. Both of them straight at me like, oh, mate, Vieira, you're so lucky. He's going well, doing gangbusters. Like, high praise for the guy. And, you know, they're blokes that don't have a dog in the fight at all. And the first thing they mentioned to me when I unveiled that I was a Palace supporter. And so, you know, if that's a yardstick to go by, you know, certainly been noticed by people that have no interest at all. So, good, great appointment. And you know, I'm almost getting giddy and to the point where I'm thinking of upgrading my league position of us finishing 14th and I'm even thinking pushing that up to, you know, maybe 12th.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's locked in, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Connor Wickham's still going to be a top goal scorer as well. But then, Dale.
14,
I think. What are Big Pat?
I think a lot of it's already been said, but a couple of things I think I probably didn't appreciate when he came in. One was it is Patrick Vieira. So, yeah, I'm 40 years old. I watched Invincibles and all that. But I wasn't an Arsenal fan, so I probably didn't necessarily acknowledge enough of the "this is Patrick Vieira" sort of thing, right? You see when we went back to Arsenal, how the ovation he got from their fans. You listen to people, our players, talk about him. Like Elise has basically said, "I signed because of him." You know, Wilf in that interview where he's like, you know, of course we keep the ball now, we do this, we do that. This is him essentially saying, I've been crying out for somebody like this for however long to help me play football. And you just see it there. I mean, he exudes calmness. So I know we said against Arsenal he made the mistake with the substitution, but could you blame him for making the substitution? No. Being a defender on, you can't blame him for it. He learned, as we said, he learned from it. The next game, it was Elise. That's basically what won us that game 2-0, was making that substitution. And that's brilliant. I think he's learning from his mistakes. He's not afraid to try something different. The test will be what happens if we lose a centre-back, and that'll be a real test, because I think we are still light there.
Or a certain blonde-haired midfield player.
Yeah, but he's not going anywhere, yeah. Interestingly, I thought the Arsenal game, what Vieira did amazingly well, which no Crystal Palace manager has done while Wilf has been at the club, is you didn't realise we didn't have Wilf. There was nothing in the commentary that said, oh, and of course, Crystal Palace don't have Wilfried Zaha and they don't win without Wilfried Zaha. You didn't look at us playing and think, where's Wilf? That comes down to the manager and his tactics and the strength and the belief he's put within the players, right? So that's huge. I'll finish off by saying, I think, Ned, you mentioned about the clubs who'd be interested in him if they were to be looking. Now, very Premier League centric. Let's not forget, this guy is a French international, French captain. There's a particular team in France who are very quick to shift managers around. I think
That was another one that I was about to throw out at the end of your chat as a potential.
I think he'd be perfect at PSG, the football he plays. You think about it, he played for Juventus. He played in Italy. You know, there are teams there, the better teams in Italy who try and play a bit more expansive football. They would look at him. I would say Spanish clubs, the way that what they try and do and who they look at is probably a step too far at the moment. But I think at the moment, Patrick Vieira probably looks at it and secretly, whilst he says all the right things about Palace in the camera, he's probably saying to himself, if I continue like this, the football world and management is my oyster. Absolutely. And we've just got to ride that coattail whilst we can. And
like I say, I think, as I said on the last pod, in terms of just hoping that it's you know, your Arteta's and someone like an Arteta just picks up and keeps Arsenal going the right way, because you would suggest that if Arteta went, that's a no brainer for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I think City, he's right up there on the list as well, but obviously Pep's not going anywhere anytime soon.
The good thing we have going for us in the Premier League, at least, is that those top clubs, and with the caveat that Arteta keeps going well, don't appear to be in the market anytime soon. So that's probably a plus. But yeah, of course, the rest of Europe will be looking in with interest, no doubt.
I'm not too worried about the rest of Europe, to be honest with you. I think I understand your PSG point there. But I don't think he's a big enough name yet for PSG. So say they get rid of Pochettino,
they got Unai Emery as a manager. I think they'll go with Patrick Vieira, French international, French captain, invincible, etc.
Where was he at? Sevilla, wasn't it? They got him from.
Yeah, but look, he's not. This isn't going to happen for a year at least.
Yeah, exactly.
And in that time, he builds a profile. So you've got to think, in a year's time, where is his profile at if Palace go the right way?
No, I think The only way he goes sooner than that is if Arsenal literally turns upside down and Arteta just somehow manages to just like send him straight back down the table again. That's the only club that's going to come for him straight away.
That's a pass of fortune. That's a pass of an absolute fortune.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on. He's not going anywhere up the paddy.
Yep.
Right, everyone says don't fall in love with loan players. We've had a decent list. We had Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
We've had
Patrick Bamford, and who didn't love Patrick Bamford?
Fuck me, he's good. He's so fucking good. Let's just everyone just do whatever we can.
Just to confirm, Conor Gallagher there, not Patrick Bamford.
Yeah, Christ, you jumped in very early there, Dave. Could have been misconstrued. But is Conor Gallagher the best ever loan signing you've seen at Palace? From the start, I mean, he seems to have everything.
Yes. Next question.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think I said it in a text, or if I didn't, I definitely thought it. I said it to somebody at the weekend when I was away, who's a Brentford fan. I just said, the kid came into our club, the kid, because he's a kid, and he has instantly proven himself to be the best player in our club. But I know, look, Wilf is Wilf. That's
Dale
fine.
Hates Wilf. And Dale hates Wilf.
He has been, I feel that we get that Joel Ward won player of the month last month because people were like, we can't get to Conor Gallagher again.
Deservedly.
It was deserved. But you know what I mean? It was deserved. But you know what I mean? I think Conor Gallagher was still awesome in that.
He would have been a close second.
Yeah, very close second. He's a star.
Playing not devil's advocate, and he's incredible. Don't get me wrong.
I disagree with whatever you're about to say, Rob.
But is it a case of the stars have all aligned, right? He's in a team that are playing the football he likes to play that suits him. He's in a position that suits him, and he's in a manager that's let him do what he needs to do. I say that because you look at what he was. If you watched him against play for West Brom last season,
he was awesome.
I know about four or five West Brom fans back home that went to uni with him, and they're like, he was okay. They're watching him now, and they're like, oh my god, he's a different player to the one that they had.
But he's in a better team now than he was in.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So it helps. You could put Ronaldo in that West Brom team, and he wouldn't look that good. He wouldn't look as good as Ronaldo does. But that's just what happens.
That it's, if we were playing, if we had him last year, for example, playing that type of football, he wouldn't look half as good as he does now. Is what I'm saying. But he's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
but we're not playing that type of football. And
we're allowed to spend 66 million from financial fair play. Let's put 66 million into the Conor Gallagher fund. Thank you, please. Moving on.
We legitimately get like a global GoFundMe page. Because I'm sure we could get at least 20 million from bloody round the traps. And then
he's not leaving Chelsea.
The problem is he's a Chelsea boy, which is disappointing because he's from Epsom, so he should be a Palace boy. He's a Chelsea boy. He's a Chelsea fan. He will probably, off the back of having such a good season, want to give it to Chelsea, give a go to Chelsea. And Chelsea will probably go, do you know what? He was that good. We should give him a go. Ultimately, it depends on what Tuchel wants to do. If Tuchel wants to go with, if Saul Núñez has a good second half of the season, and Mason Mount is Mason Mount, and Christian Pulisic is Pulisic, and Kai Havertz is Kai Havertz, and Kante and Kovacic, and Jorginho wins the Ballon d'Or, then
with his current penalties.
Yeah.
I reckon I've got as much chance when the Ballon d'Or as Georgie.
But if bottom line is he's in the finals, right, for it. Mm. You know, if you're a Conor Gallagher, you've got to look at it and go, oh, that's going to be tough.
But you've also got to go, if you're Conor Gallagher, you're going to go, well, this is the only chance. This is my chance. I'm already at the big club.
Yeah.
This is my chance to go train, because he hasn't had a season where he's got to train with them. Even six months where he gets to train with them,
stay
with that first team squad and go, right, I'm going to give it a crack. And he's not going to leave before he's had that chance.
Of course, 100%.
The only chance I think we've got to get in Conor Gallagher is 6 months to 12 months after that if he doesn't get in the team.
Yeah.
I think that's I don't think there's any chance of us getting him at the start of next year.
I said it in the WhatsApp group, and I'll stick to what I said there. It was like, it depends on Chelsea if he's fashionable enough for Chelsea, right? But he's young, his English has come up through the Chelsea system. I mean, let's look at Mark Gray, he's prime example. They sold, okay, we gave him a great deal, but they sold Gahey to us, and then they were going after the young French centre back of Sevilla, I think. Same age, same profile. And a lot of Chelsea fans are like, well, why go after him for 50 mil when we had Gahey? So it all depends if like there's a new upstart that's just tearing up Europe and they think, look, we want to get him and he's a centre midfielder, then they might be like,
bottom line.
But I don't
think... Bottom line, he's fucking magnificent.
He is. My goodness gracious.
The other last thing I'll say about him, so which I just noticed before, so Optusport over here put out their Premier League 11 of the season so far, and as usual, it was interesting. But and so you get all the comments of people going through. Conor Gallagher is in their Premier League 11 of the season so far, and I think he and Declan Rice are the only two players that not a single person underneath has commented to say, no, someone else should be in instead of them. And Salah, obviously. But
he's a freaky.
I think you're sitting there going, when you've got a Palace player who is in any being listed in any Premier League team of the season and not a single person is going, no, that's a bad idea. The kid's special.
And it's not Wilf.
And it's not Wilf.
Yeah. Even on Football Ramble today, they mentioned Gallagher getting his cap off, called up or whatever. And they kind of just get angry, talking about how good Conor Gallagher is because he's just braining it week in, week out, and it's just the status quo now. So
it wasn't the Football Ramble. I think it was Guardian. And they said, I think they were talking about the review of the other day, a review of a game, what do we take from Palace Wolves apart from Conor Gallagher's absolutely brilliant every week and something else? And I was just like, and that was it.
A question too to you boys without notice, but it's probably an enigma. Can Chelsea get him back before season's end if they want to?
I don't believe so.
They can probably pay us a shit ton of money for it. If they really want him back, that we'd be like, if they say that we desperately want him.
You have to put the clause in the contract at the start of the loan, isn't it?
I mean, so. I've heard whispers, but I'd guess there's clauses plus the fact that it would cost them a fortune, so they won't do it.
But he's got to think too. I think that's what Dar was putting across, that that's his mob, so he's obviously going to have a stellar season. And I have it. There's another pod too. I'm not sure which one, but I almost think like doesn't matter how well he plays for us. He's just not going to be a walk up for Chelsea. So go back season of warming the pine, and then think, oh, we'll blow this. I've just played my bollocks off, and I'm not getting a stint here. Pick up the phone to Steve and come on over. Maybe
that's their best chance.
Yeah, I reckon Steve will be on the phone to him quite a lot.
Every week next
year. Every morning. How'd you sleep, mate? You're right.
How are you going,
Connor? Tell me about your dreams. I want to hear them.
Absolutely. You're right. So we've established that Conor Gallagher's the best player since ever. All right. So we'll merge the next two. So we all think Jimmy Mack, we've all read that he's injured potentially up for 11 weeks. So that's a big loss. He's been fantastic. So, and I alluded to it before, we've kind of played horses for courses with the team selection. What do you reckon our best, if we were like saying we don't give a shit who we're playing next week, what do you reckon our best 11 is? And I'm going to throw this one to Dale first.
Is Eberechi Eze fit?
Yes.
Then I think you, as we spoke about the other week, you sort of trust the ability of Conor Gallagher to fit into that role in the middle of the park with Maka out. You give Eze that. Yes, he's not a box-to-box midfielder. I get that. So it's a slight tweak, but he takes a Gallagher role. Then your decision just sits about who are your three up front. Do you go Benteke, Wilf, Elise? Because I will just take note on this. I think Benteke is better and a better chance of scoring when Michael Olise is in the side.
Mm.
He fires in crosses for him. Do you go Edouard, Wilf, Ayew, because you know you're playing against a better team and you need a bit more work rate. So you go for Ayew and Edouard, who do give you that. I'll be honest, I don't fucking know.
That's it.
Because, you know, especially the defense picks itself at the moment, right? We don't have a reserve left back. Nathaniel Klein is just a pint warmer at the moment. So the defense picks itself. The midfield kind of picks itself. The question is, who slots in and get alongside in that centre mid position? Your choices are Luca, Conor Gallagher, Will Hughes, Cheki Karate. And then it's any three from six, really, in the attacking positions. Take your pick.
So I'm delighted when I said, doesn't matter who we play next week, what's our best team, and you've named the whole squad.
Well,
so,
but the point is, mate, I think it's a struggle, right?
Impressively. But it's one thing is a struggle, Jordan Ayew isn't in it.
Hold on a second. I'm not getting on the guy.
Basically, Dale wants to say, Wilf out, are you in?
No, I think there have been games, as we have seen, where having Jordan Ayew has been of stark benefit to us.
Absolutely. But
that best 11. You could pick our best 11. Our best 11 could be Olise, Benteke, Edouard, Wilf, Eze, Luca, and then some defenders. But that isn't our best 11, is it? Because that's going to get absolutely destroyed, that team.
You lift up Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, but that team will get destroyed. That team will get destroyed. So let's think about it. You're going to play 10 attackers and a goalkeeper. We're going to get beat. That's not our best 11. So sometimes our best 11 has to have somebody who may not be one of our best 11 players.
What I'd love to see, and we'll probably see it against someone like Norwich, I suppose. We'd have a midfield three, just because he's been really good, to be honest. With Kouyaté in that holding role, I think he's done it really well. But with Eze and Gallagher, and then Olise, Edouard, and Wilf. Oh.
Rob, can I ask you one question? What's been our best win of the season so far?
Best win of the season, Wolves.
You're a dick. It wasn't Wolves. It was away at Man City. And if you don't believe that, you're a clown. If you don't believe that, you should...
Man City was a great result, though, but Wolves was one of the real test games that we're playing a team...
Do you know what? I know exactly why you said Wolves, because you know that Jordan Ayew started against Man City. Finish.
Dale, some pro just debating tips. You got to be more subtle in your build up.
Yeah, but the point
you can't just give him. You can't give him the out.
Yeah, I know. But the point stands, right? The point stands. Man City, hands down, was our best result of the season, and Jordan Ayew was in that team, and he
didn't set up the goal.
Huh?
Were you about to say he set up the goal?
No, I said hands down. I can say hands down. He played a very important role, defensive role, in keeping players quiet. Mm-hmm. Phil Foden on that side did nothing. And in part, it is because of Ayew. But anyway, that's fine. If you don't believe that, it's up to you. You're wrong, but that's up to you.
Well, you heard it here first, folks, on the Exiled Eagles podcast. The host, Rob Seltzer, is a clown.
I think it was a brilliant result.
It was a good result, Rob. Take nothing away from it.
Where we played, the team with the way they played, like we knew we were going to get better by Man. We just played, our game plan was perfect for Man City, but the way we were trying to move forward, I think Wolves was the game. Anyway, Ned, best 11.
I want to sit on the fence too.
Mark, best 11. That was your answer, Ned. Thank you very much. Our squad. Mark, best 11, go.
Captain, Joe Ward.
Number one, Joel Ward. Number three, Joel Ward.
So we've got
Joseph Ward, Joel Ward. Yeah, with all jokes aside, I think the defence and goalie picks itself. Are we playing best 11 with or without J Mac injured?
No, the whole squad's available. The whole squad's
right.
Available.
Okay, so there's your four. Then I would go Gallagher, Macca, and Kiato. And then going forward, I'd have Elise and Benteke. And for exactly that reason, that I think Checkers would get a lot more good service off the boot of Elise.
We'll come to you quickly, Ned, because I did cut you off then. I don't feel bad at all, but I will come to you. Certainly not. But because you're one of the more, I'd say, not scathing is the wrong word, but one question, like the one when Edouard, we're talking about Edouard, you weren't totally convinced by him. How have you, what, I mean, I'm just throwing it at you, what's your thoughts on having seen how he played that? To me, I've been pleasantly surprised with everything else to his game. What's your thoughts on Edouard?
I think in terms of, so with Edouard, I think he's a fantastic addition to the squad. And I think there's definitely, you know, going down the sort of Dale route in terms of there are definitely games where he is by far and away the best option to pick in certain positions across that front three. And it's fantastic to have him in there. I mean, there's still bits to his game that sort of concern me a little bit, but I think as both Dale and Mark have said, if I'm picking an out and out centre forward, and we're going to play a team with players out wide that can cross, then I'm going to put Christian Benteke as our centre forward ahead of Odson Edouard every single day of the week. However, if we're going to be playing a team that's got, you know, say, for example, a Burnley this week who have got your big hulking centre halves and it's just not really the best game plan to just get the ball and whip it into the box for the whole time, then you're probably looking at someone like an Edouard is going to be a better option because he's got that little bit of extra movement. He managed to find that extra yard of space that Benteke doesn't. You know, he probably could have had a couple of extra goals this year, but I think you're sort of sitting there going, there's so many players in our squad at the moment that because you're comparing different styles of play, to say one is better than the other is just too difficult a thing to do.
Yeah.
So in terms of to say, you know, like I wouldn't want to say Benteke is better than Edouard, but I also wouldn't want to say Edouard is better than Benteke. I wouldn't want to say, you know, Eze is better than Elise or Elise is better than Eze. Depends on what you need in certain games. And I think it's good that we've got Vieira who is able to go, this game is what's going to happen here. This game is what's going to happen here. And these are the players that we can use for that. So, yeah, I think in terms of saying what is our best 11, I don't think we necessarily have one from a perspective of there are players that just have different skill sets. So yeah, that question requires more information than what is the best 11? What is the best 11 to play who?
But it's good, I reckon, that we don't just have a clear.
Correct.
I agree. 11. I'm 100, correct. And I agree 100% with that point. 100%.
Correct. There are some sports out there, there are some sports where you have a best, let's take basketball, for example, you have a starting five and then you have a rotation and everyone knows what the rotation is and everyone plays X number of minutes and regardless of what's happening in the game, that's what happens, right? We don't have that. And a lot of football clubs, and I tell you, we were one of them last season.
Really, we were.
It was a 14-man game, right? 15-man game if we were lucky. So the fact that we can make these changes, the fact that we've asked questions on previous pods, what do we do when when Eze's fit? What happens when? Now, it is great. It is a great position to be in. And anyone who appreciates a team sport will know, or any sort of team building and team dynamics things will tell you, it isn't the best 11 individuals that make the best team. Yeah, and I think we're now in a situation where we can chop and change and we can bring in the likes of a Kouyaté at some point, or, you know, we can bring on an IU, or we can change the front three around. And that's a good place to be in. It's just strong for us for a change.
Absolutely. I think just one more point on the squad, just because we've sort of touched on James McArthur's injury. I think as we said in previous pods, we question how come Will Hughes hasn't got a go yet. And my theory, which we'll find out whether it's true or not, was that we brought Will Hughes in. He was the cover for James McArthur. Because, he was the player that was going to come in. If McArthur went out, Hughes was the one that was going to come in. But because McArthur was playing so well, he wasn't going out. And therefore, his cover wasn't coming in. If Will Hughes doesn't start getting game time now and significant game time now, he's not going to get game time.
Huh? He's injured, isn't he?
He was injured last couple, wasn't on the bench for the last two injured.
So hopefully we'll see what happens.
But it's not, as in, McArthur's out for 11 weeks. Hughes is not out for 11 weeks.
Correct.
Hughes is out for 1 or 2 weeks. I'm not saying if Will Hughes doesn't start this week, he's done. But, if McArthur is out until, the end of January, and Will Hughes isn't playing a significant portion of those games, then you've got to go, why is he here?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he probably is long-term Mecca replacement. But one thing that confused me a little bit again, is that he's been on the bench a couple of times when McArthur's come off and he hasn't been the guy to come on. Like we bought on Schluck, for example. Yeah. Done that. So, but I think most of those times,
though, McArthur's come off with a bit of a shape change.
Yeah, probably.
I think if we're keeping the shape, the theory is James McArthur can run all day. So if we're keeping the shape, unless he's about to get sent off, then you just leave him out there. If you're taking him off, you're changing the shape, in which case there's no point bringing in a like for like.
Mm. True. Well done for answering the question, even though I didn't ask you. Well, move past you. Done well. Managed to get it in. Congratulations. Okay. All right. So let's look at the next few. So the next games, we've got Burnley Saturday. We've got Burnley, Villa at home, Leeds away, United away, Everton at home. So that's the next five. So we normally try and do five ahead. So let's go with the Don Juan up in Brisbane. What do you reckon the points haul from those five will be? So we've got Burnley away, Villa at home, Leeds away, United away, Everton at home.
First and foremost, I'm really excited for Man U away. I said that a couple of weeks ago on WhatsApp. I'm properly looking forward to that game. Out of those, but apparently it could be a banana skin. They might have the skills, but I expect a tough and gritty game. Could be sort of a 1-1 or a 0-0. Their Villa seem to be sort of shit in the bed, but then, new manager bounce. Could be here or there. I'd expect us to roll Leeds. I'll just stick my neck on the block and say we'll beat Man U. Why not? Just do it with leg of the air up in Manchester again this season. And Everton, I think we'll have them. So, out of five, probably we'll throw in a loss or so. Someone will have us there. Comfortably and confidently, 8 points.
I don't know. I'm leaving you purposely to last name because you're going to go 15 because you're not fine. What about you, then?
And the toes.
Oh, disgusting. Go on, Dale.
Five games, you say?
So you got
next five.
First side, Burnley away, Villa at home, Leeds away, United away, Everton at Selhurst.
Yeah, look. Yeah, let's just go with eight. If we get eight, are we happy with that? No two ways about it.
Ned.
Hey, you, Rob. What are your thoughts on it? Points-wise.
I reckon the way we're playing, I reckon we look at 10.
10, yeah. Oh, cool. 15 or more. We'll get some bonus points.
I think 16 out of 15 points is definitely possible the way we're playing. But no, we're 100% going to get the new manager bounce from United as well, aren't we? Solskjaer's going the week before we play United. That's a guarantee. And Andros Townsend banging in two against us for Everton. So that's costing us points. So we've got a couple of draws there and we'll win the rest. So what's that add up to? 11. I think we hit double figures.
Yeah, the way we're playing,
Yeah.
I think
it would be great. It would be great to get double figures, obviously.
Double figures for Palace from any five Premier League fixtures
is magnificent.
Incredible.
We walk away with 1.25 points a game, I think, takes us to just around 8. We do that, I'm pretty happy.
I'll take 8 for sure, but I just think the way we've played against all teams and the teams we're playing and the way they play, I think we can overrun them.
You just need to calm down a second, though, right? Because I know Vieira's doing great things. Just remember for a second who we are and the players we have. And there are still issues there. And I think let's not just get carried away because we support Crystal Palace and we love Crystal
Palace. Shut up, Dale. We're winning the league.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting carried away. Fuck what you're saying.
That's all.
It's the whole point of the pod, Dale. I can't get carried away anyway. Shut up.
Next.
Now you hand over to Ned and Mr. Tinder. Or plenty of fish or whatever they call it these days.
Just Tinder, mate. I'm not even on Hinge or nothing. Just Tinder.
What's Hinge?
Oh, it's just another another bloody sort of meetup. Friend of the show, Jimmy Fletcher, tried to get in my ear about, actually, who is, whilst I'm mentioning him, welcome aboard, Jimmy, on Sunday. I think he becomes an Australian citizen then, so we have plenty of room here. So
you can claim T20 World Cups and other things. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So congrats to him. Just chin him out, but I'm sure you don't want to pick my brains about that.
Not really. You're right.
Get back on track with football.
Let's go. Let's talk about Aussie stuff. Over to you.
Yeah, cool. Now, do you want to start? I tend to start. You can start, if you want, mate, and then I can interrupt you on shit.
No, I think the main one I wanted to touch base on is obviously knowing how much both you and Rob are big fans of footballers' hair. Is obviously Daniel Sturridge is now in the A-League and spent 2 weeks in quarantine on various social media platforms searching for Perth's best barber. So that was obviously an exciting period.
Now, as an Afro-Caribbean man like Mr. Sturridge, I will say I moved over here 13 and a bit years ago and I went and got my hair cut. And my God, it was fucking awful. I did not then cut my hair. Off the back of that, I basically went on protest and did not cut my hair for 3 years. And it turned into dreadlocks. That's how much I appreciate what Daniel Sturridge is getting at here. It can be bad.
All I know is that when we first played Perth, he's going to cut 90 minutes of you've got a shit fucking haircut from me. Yeah. Which is ironic because I have got a shit fucking haircut.
I mean, I can imagine if Daniel Sturridge ever hears that, he's going to be so shit scared, Ned. Don't do it for a whole 90 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to be shit scared. Be entertained, though.
As he scores a hat-trick.
With his hair.
His hamstrings won't last that long.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think the other Aussie rumour I think that I heard today that potentially Popper's name was thrown in, but you know it could potentially impact either him or our very best friend of the show, Carl Veer. I'm hoping it doesn't impact either. No. Apparently, a prominent A-League coach is a little bit anti-vax and might be needing to find some new employment.
Oh, no, Carl's not, mate. He called me.
I don't think it's Carl. I don't think it's Carl.
No, he was.
I'm hoping it's not Popper. And I doubt it's Mark's mate Warren Moon up there in Brisbane either. So
Man's not going anywhere, mate.
We should all be safe. So we can wildly speculate there if we wanted to, but it's probably a waste of time. So I'll throw over to Mark.
That's it, mate. Cool. Well, off football for a wee bit. Obviously, Australia newly crowned World T20 champions, which came out of nowhere. To be honest, I didn't genuinely back us in to even make the final of the tournament, and rolled our bloody Anzac brothers over the ditch there. fairly. We managed to beat them fairly in a final that something.
Headset, if you guys win the Ashes, if you guys win the Ashes as easily as I think you're going to win it, yeah. I am going to quit work. Because I cannot. I mean, I walked into a meeting yesterday.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, could you just run through where you worked at?
Yeah, I work for Cricket New South Wales, which is the equivalent of working for a county cricket team in England, but a lot more directly. Basically, I'm in the Australian cricket ecosystem, and fuck me, it is hard sometimes. So hard.
Imagine, mate. It'd be end of the line, den after any Australian win, and then given if it's off the back of thrashing you lot, then, so many sick days you've got... in up your sleeve there, mate, possibly around sort of December, January. So that was nice. That was pretty cool to wake up to and find out about that. Getting back to the round ball, our girls have just had a little friendly tournament with Brazil, 3-1 and 2-all, I think, were the scores there. So taking that series out 1-0. Girls look good. Brazil is Brazil. I'm not sure exactly the quality of their girls, but if you're knocking Brazil over at football, that's always a joy. Our boys, our men, play 1 o'clock in the morning v China for our Asian World Cup qualification process. Halfway through our games in that pool, currently sitting second, had a riveting nil all draw with Saudi Arabia here about 4 days ago for the first time in over 2 years that we played at home. So while between drinks for the boys, looked all right, had a couple of chances. Draw was probably a fair result. In the end, A-League starting up in a couple of weeks, which is good. Did notice that Alec Carpenter's Lyon steamrolled PSG 6-1 overnight or the night before. Kerr still banging them in for Chelsea. All the Aussie girls over there in the Women's Super League or whatever you call it are flying, which is pretty good. Long may that continue. And also a big story down in Adelaide, Carl Bitt Country. Josh Cavallo has come out and said, "Well, no, he's a gay man and proud of that." So the first currently playing or still playing top flight footballer in the world to do that. So good on him.
I take umbrage at you saying someone from the A-League is top flight football, but otherwise everything else you said is correct.
It was actually the words of Guardian Football, mate. So
they don't know a lot about football.
Go and grind your axe to Max and co.
I'll find Max. He's in a hotel somewhere.
He's in here. He's down your way, mate. You'll be able to get a hold of him. And currently playing. I know obviously some past players have said it in retirement and so forth. And, good on him. You know, as much as we all like to dance around and go, we're all, accepting this and that, That's still a big move from him. And from what I can gather, no real backlash or anything. There'll be some wankers that do, but, I mean, that's just hello, internet. No one's void of that. So, good on the lad. Not a new thing here in Australia. In mid-90s, Ian Roberts was playing for Manly Seagulls in rugby league. Came out as well, and he got a bit more stick, obviously. It was a bit of a different world then. But, good on him, man. Must be... kind of, I guess, tough for them. Shouldn't be a thing. Shouldn't even be a news story because someone's sexual preference or religion or race or creed or dietary requirements just shouldn't even be a news story. We should all just be...
Hold on, the dietary requirements thing.
Yeah, if they're veggie.
There's some weirdos out there.
It's 2021. We're all inclusive now. It's just warm,
inclusive some meat in your dietary diet.
Requirements.
But, so in any case, good on Josh. And
absolutely.
It raises an interesting point. He's already playing in Australia under 21s. There's still some places around the world where you get thrown in the clink or worse for being gay. Qatar being one, qualify for the World Cup.
It'd be horrible to reward somewhere like Qatar with a major sporting event, wouldn't it?
Disgusting, though. Disgusting, mate. Money still talks loud and clearly.
And they've just, Saudi Arabia have just bought Newcastle, so whoopee doo.
That's it, mate. So, and also I want a quick mention while we're talking all things Pat. Patty Mills, who's now playing for the Brooklyn Nets, just on fire over there at the moment, absolutely braining them. Dale Winston, as I say this, I know he's a bit of an NBA man, so I'm chucking this in for him. Comes off the bench the other night, and Ali drops 9 from 12 three-pointers. Set a franchise record for most three-pointers in a game for someone who came off the bench. So that's pretty big time, Charlie, I reckon. And good on Pat. Yeah, just absolutely destroying over there at Will. So that's fun to watch.
Different round ball entirely, and I know we're itching to go and have a wee spa. I will say, like, I do watch a lot of basketball, and the guy just phenomenal. He's to move within from one system, which was so heavy in San Antonio, to go to the Nets. This is what he's doing, just different class. So pains me to say it, but good up, Patty. Aussie legend, you.
Well, that's lovely. What a lovely way to end the football podcast on. Well, I'll just bring it around.
have you got the badminton update for us, Rob?
I'll give you a couple of rugby updates, but who cares? Just on women's football, did you guys see the female PSG player?
She's been released without charge. Other people associated to her have also been released without charge. I don't think she actually had anything to do with it.
But did you hear who they do think potentially had something to do with it now?
Karim Benzema.
I heard Eric Abidal. So I feel like they're just throwing names around the place.
I was being silly.
No, apparently it's Eric Abidal's ex. So the rumor is there. So we'll throw out, because we're allowed to throw out rumors on this pod because we have no listeners. So I'll throw in the word alleged a lot. And I'm sure we'd be liable if anyone actually listened.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, there's a couple of last bits of housekeeping. Firstly, friend of the pod, James Howland, has his third book out, the Palace Addiction third book. First two, fantastic reads. Dale even gets a mention in the second one. He was actually mentioned as one of the better players at CPFC Sydney, which is a fabrication. Like, we can bend the obviously can bend the truth a little bit, and James has done there very nicely for Dale, which was I'm sure he's very kindly thanked him for.
It's a
that.
Work of fiction, isn't it?
Exactly. It's part of fiction. It's between fiction and fantasy.
Got to get Jimmy on the pod.
Yes, we'd love to get him on the pod, but yes, guys, please get out and get
read an extract if you like, boys.
He's got the page map, yeah, he's ready to go.
Dale actually has that.
It's a shame this is an audio medium, Dale, or that would have been a fantastic little plug that you had there.
That's good. Sorry. Anyone that listens, make sure you go out and get James's book. The first two are fantastic reads. I'm looking forward to reading the third. And secondly, kind of another shout out. Well, not shout out, but like just a. If anyone is struggling, we're here at Exiled Eagles. Our Mark has actually been in contact with another Palace fan up in Brisbane. I saw a tweet that he was struggling a little bit. I think he'd just broken up with his missus and he wasn't too sure kind of where life was going to take him and what he was going to do. So we put in contact with Mark, and he's going down, and he didn't know there was any Palace in Brisbane. And Mark sorted him out to, I think he's come down to the Pig and Whistle for the Leeds game, is it?
Yeah, mate, we've got the, oddly enough, we tend to get our best numbers for the sort of 5:36, 6:30 games. So, going to tee up the Leeds meet in the Pig and Whistle in the mall. Obviously, because the booze are down on the river's not open, but we're going to have a latte or a coffee or a chai tea and throw it at the television when
things are going right. Lads.
That's it, lads. But
so, looking forward to meeting him down there and, getting him on board with us up here.
That's great work by you, Mark, so we appreciate that. But if there is anyone out there in Palace or non-Palace, really, but Palace especially, because I wouldn't doubt that anyone that's not Palace would listen to this anyway, but that's in Australia.
Ideally Palace people.
And I'll just say that for all this bluster and anything else we give on this pod, that just makes it worthwhile. So,
Absolutely. Like, just delighted that we could help in any way, shape, or form. So if you do feel lonely, you don't know there's any Palace around you, please look. We're on Twitter, Exiled Eagles. We're on Facebook.
And most major cities in Australia have got Palace fans Facebook page as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Reach out to, and there's meetups there for everywhere except Adelaide. in which case you can just get directly in touch with Carl Viet, tell him you're a friend of the Exiled Eagles and
Just for me, really. But yes, in all seriousness, if you are at that lost for a bit, or you want just want some mates to have a beer with, please, please, please reach out to us, and we would be absolutely delighted to help. Well, guys, that's it. We've all got Wiesbaden to get to. They always got 700 forms you've got to fill out to get to the UK by Thursday. So look, just thank you very much once again. Palace are back on Saturday, so up the Palace.
Honestly, man, I swear, dude, like every ounce of my strength not to punch this fucking thing in front of me. Anyway, how are you boys? Oh man, and then I'll try it on my phone and shit, and it's gone. That address is invalid. I'm like, sake, I'm trying to get on this fucking meeting. I can see you boys on it. Stole my work kit. I got in the door at like 7:25. Blah 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 blah. Whatever.
All right, let's get started then.
Let's donkey.
Could you do our intro for us, please, bud?
I'll leave that to the Velvet Tongue Girls, mate.
Sure.